6 years in active reserve.
Did you ever get called up while you were in reserve?
No, we didn't have anything going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know when the Vietnam War broke out, but by that time I was either out or they didn't have any need for me.
Right.
So I never got called for anything.
But it was the Korean War when you first started.
Right.
And so is that why they were having the draft?
Yes.
Okay. So everyone your age was getting drafted?
Everyone my age, if they could qualify, got drafted. I mean, we had to take physical and what do you call a mental test? See if you got good sense or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I think they call it psychotechnic sometimes.
I don't know what they call it.
Yeah.
But this is what we had to go through. We'd go to Richmond, Virginia, and have our examination. And then if we passed, qualified, they drafted us.
Okay.
Most of the guys drafted, when I was drafted, they went to Korea, and I went to Germany.
So why do you think that was?
I don't really know. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the way it worked out. And
right.
I'm glad it did.
You are.
Go that way now.
But then? At the time?
At the time, I wanted to go to Korea.
You did?
Oh, yes. I really wanted to go and fight.
Huh.
I wanted to be a tank driver.
Oh, okay.
But that didn't work. I would have got blown away first thing.
Huh.
Yes, they said tanks were the first thing they would pick on.
Huh.
So I didn't go there.
Huh.
I'm still here.
Yes.
So one of my best friends, he went over and he got killed. I guess he went over there a month before he got killed.
Oh. Hmm.
So I sent him to Germany and I made it back home.
Yeah. Were the units segregated at the time?
Believe it or not, when I got overseas, in Georgia and overseas, I was the first black in all of the units I went in.
Wow. So that means that you were the only one.
I was first, but then others were added.
Okay.
Just one or two.
So your family just had a tradition of exploring.
See if I can.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was sort of surprised, but it didn't bother me. Being black,
mm-hmm.
We were colored. We weren't black then.
Right.
Being colored with
right.
a bunch of white, it didn't bother me.
It did.
If they didn't call me nigga, it didn't bother me.
Right.
And that's the only.
And did they?
Oh yeah. I had a lot of them to do that.
Hmm.
I was at one fight.
Hmm.
Well, he didn't call me that. He was gonna call me something about my mother. I mean, you can understand.
Right.
And he and I were going to war.
Mm-hmm.
And the second sergeant heard it and he jumped out there and asked what's going on. And I said, I don't even want all this on tape, but
okay.
I was about to.
You want me to pause?
You might.
Just because this is the kind of stuff that young people don't know about.
Okay.
Okay.
So they made me a squad leader,
mm-hmm.
and they told us that day after our schooling that I want we have to change all of our wall lockers. Wall lockers look like those cabinets over there.
Okay.
But we had to change them, get new ones,
mm-hmm.
and they put me in charge of a particular floor in the barracks.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody didn't have to change lockers because some of them were new.
Right.
But the lieutenant told me and the other guys, squad leaders, that nobody could leave the company area until all the lockers were changed.
Right.
And when we got all of ours changed on my floor,
mm-hmm.
this guy, one guy, his name was Robert E. Lee.
Oh. Ironically.
Yeah. He came back up to where I was and said, they called me Luck by my last name. He said, Luck, I'm going downtown now. So I said, well, you can't leave the company area until all the lockers have been changed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when he called me a mother.
Oh, okay.
And at that point, I was just at the point of trying to get him in. We had 13 steps. house, and there was marble mm-hmm. in the barracks. Mm-hmm. And I was going to knock him down, mm-hmm. all the way down there. Mm-hmm. And when we got into it verbally, and the sergeant just happened to be in his room, mm-hmm. and he come rushing out, "What's going on up here?" I said, "Sergeant, Lee here called me a name, mm-hmm. and I don't play that. I don't take it from anybody. Mm-hmm. And I was going to knock him down these steps." He said, "Well, you know, you should have done it." But I didn't. Hmm. So they restricted him to the area. He couldn't leave for a week. Hmm. And all the other guys could leave after they had done and changed the lockers. Right. He had it in for me, but I let him know, "You don't want to mess with me." So I didn't have any more problem with it. Hmm. But that was the first encounter I had with anybody, you know, a racial thing.
Right.
The name wasn't racial, but the way he did it, it sort of seemed that way.
Right.
But I didn't have too much problem after that. But I was the first black guy in all of the companies I went in.
Right.
And they had to get used to me more than I did them. Mm-hmm. I've never been a person who's been in trouble.
Right.
Until today, I have never had a fight in my life, other than with my brother one time.
Right.
So
when was that?
My dad built a boat for me, and we were working on it. And my brother said something made me mad. I told him, "Don't you work on my boat." And I said, "If you do, I get the gun and kill you."
Oh, Lord.
And he's had a few words. He's bigger than me, but he's 2 years younger.
Oh, okay.
I ran in the house to get the shotgun.
Oh, my.
And he ran in there right behind me. He got all the shells.
Oh.
So that ended there.
Right.
So that's the biggest fight I ever had.
Yeah.
So that ended that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not a troublemaker. I don't tolerate trouble. If people want trouble, I just leave them alone.
Right. So they had to get used to you.
Right.
And did they have a hard time?
Well, I don't know. I had a few little racial things said. About when I was in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just tell you one of them. I won't tell you the second one.
Okay.
We went down to a guest house. That's a beer hall, a beer joint.
Beer?
Beer.
Okay.
Where you drink. They call it the G-A-S-T-H-A-U-S. That's in German.
Oh, G?
G-A-S-T-H-A-U-S. Guest house. That's where you go to get your booze.
Right.
And I hadn't been to this particular one for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And got back to my company a day or so later. Now, I was the only black in there.
Mm-hmm.
A day or so later, the sergeant, white sergeant, came up and reported that I had beat him.
Hmm.
And he went to the company headquarters and called me out. You know, after he reported, they called me out, had fall out, and they checked us over. And he said, "Told the time it happened." He said, "I was the one that did it." Well, the only defense I had was my buddies around there.
Right.
They said I wasn't even off at the post because we were together there in the barracks.
Right.
And that saved me.
Wow.
Otherwise, I would have been convicted of beating the guy.
Huh.
And I guess we think it was a racial thing. What happened? I didn't see it. So it was a 13, 14-year-old black kid there from somewhere.
Right.
And said he did beat the sergeant. The sergeant was drunk.
Oh.
He beat him. He thought I did just because I'm black.
Oh, right. So what was a 13, 14-year-old kid doing then?
See, I don't really know.
Huh.
I was told about
it. Was an American kid?
Yeah. See, I don't know if he's American or half American, half German or what.
Oh.
See, they had half blacks, half whites in Germany by the time I got there from the Second World War. And I think this was one of those. But for some reason, the sergeant got drunk and started after the kid, and he beat him up.
Hmm.
And he put it on me.
Hmm.
But I got clear of that.
Yeah, that was lucky. Huh.
And that was the end of that.
So that was 2 years in the Army.
Right.
And then when you got done with that?
Well, I was still in the Army. I don't know how much longer, but I was one person, and I don't know how this ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
After I did my schooling, mm-hmm. I never had to work one day in the Army. All soldiers have to do work 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I was exempt from that. And I don't know why, other than my officer in charge didn't make me do any work.
Mm-hmm.
And every Saturday they would have inspection of the barracks and the soldiers,
mm-hmm.
and the parade.
Oh.
And the officer in charge, he was represented as a master sergeant, but he was really a full colonel, one
mm-hmm.
step from being a general.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me Luck.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, "Luck, man, you don't have to be inspected, and you don't have to go in the parades."
Hmm.
He said, "What I want you to do every Saturday
mm-hmm.
is go out to the snack bar. We had a snack bar about a quarter mile away. You just go over there and eat something, or just fool around." He said, "Just don't let the officers catch you. If you I can see." He said, "And if you see them coming, just hide somewhere." And I did it the whole time out of there, and nothing was ever done.
Huh.
No, I was never caught. I never got in any trouble because he said he had more rank than anybody else anyway.
Right.
So what I tell you, you can do it.
But right.
Just stay out of sight.
Huh.
And I did that.
And he never gave any explanation of why.
He said, let me tell you what he really said.
Okay.
He said, "A man of your caliber ought to get what he wants." This is the very words he gave me. And listen to this. He was a white guy from South Carolina.
Huh.
And I was the first black in this company.
Huh.
He was such a humble, loving person.
But, you know, that's the way it went. And I really had it made when I
huh.
was over there. No inspections, no parade,
uh-huh.
no work.
Huh.
Other than when I went out on the maneuvers and had set up my radio.
Right.
Well, no, I didn't.
So this big old 2 year summer camp.
Right. Exactly.
Abroad.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, that was the best thing. I had two of the other little small encounters that didn't really, well, not none of them amounted to anything, but I had a few little things, that, racial things. I'll just tell you one more, then I'll get off of that.
Sure.
It was at this time, it was only two blacks in the company, a guy from Michigan and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting in the mess hall. Mess hall is where we eat.
Right.
Eat.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting in there eating one day. Now, you want me to say all of it just like it happened?
Sure.
Okay. We're sitting at the table eating, and the guy just started a conversation, and he said, and they just said, talking about how people were getting beat up when you go downtown and get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
This one guy from Indiana, if you come think about it, and it said something about killing folks. And this guy said, sitting right across the table from me, and my buddy was, my black buddy was sitting here, mm-hmm. all the rest, four or five white guys sitting around. Mm-hmm. And they said something about killing. And he said, well, you know, if I wanted to kill somebody, I'd go downtown and kill one of those niggas. He said it just like that, you know. Oh, when he said that, I turned purple and was ready to fight. But my buddy said, wait a minute, just be calm. He said, you know you're not a nigga, though. You don't have to worry about it. You know, and that's so bad, you
wow.
know. But, honey, I had smoke coming out of my ear.
Oh, I'm sure.
See, I had only heard that toward blacks. And he probably right. meant it that way, but,
sure
but
did.
That wasn't what the nigga really is.
Right.
You know, so that took care of that, and I didn't have any more problem with it. The guy apologized. He said, well, you know, I wasn't talking about to you or about you.
So what was he talking about?
Well, he talking about blacks.
But German blacks?
Uh-huh.
The kids of from World War II?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what he's talking about. But, I just wasn't quite able to handle that.
Sure.
But we got to go over it. And that was the end of it. And,
yeah.
you know, that's really the only other thing I had that I really remember in detail.
Were there any relationships between those kids, you know, the second generation kids in Germany and the black soldiers who came, or any of the soldiers?
Not that I know of.
Huh. Huh. Do they speak English?
Well, yes, see, all the Germans could speak. They, in fact, better than I did.
Really?
Oh, yes. Because, see, they were taught that after the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
When we occupied Germany,
mm-hmm.
then everybody learned to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not everybody, but the old folk did.
Right.
But the young folk, yeah, they all learned English.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So the kids of it, well, but they spoke English because they learned it in school, not from hanging out.
I imagine they learned it in school.
Right.
Yeah.
So you didn't come into contact with them, right?
No, tell you the truth, they wouldn't even have anything to do with me.
They weren't even what?
The blacks over in Germany wouldn't even have anything to do with me. Even we had black whacks, women in the army, they wouldn't even have anything to do with black whacks. They didn't even associate with us. So, which didn't matter to me at all, you know. They're just the way they were.
What's that term you just used? WAGs?
WAC is Women Army Corps.
Oh, okay. So they had their own separate corps. So when was it when you got back to the States?
I came back to the States in June. It was June the 24th, I believe, 1954. That's when I got my discharge.
Discharge. Honorable.
Oh, yes. Definitely. In my 2 years in the Army, I never got a, what would you call a demerit or a mark against me?
Right.
I have a clean record.
Wow.
Spotless.
Amazing.
That don't mean I didn't do anything wrong. I just
didn't get caught. Of course. Isn't that what it always means?
What was that?
Isn't that what it always means?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I never did anything really bad. I went AWOL one time.
Did you?
Oh yeah, they could have locked me up. But
what did you do?
I just,
where did you go?
I was stationed, getting ready to go overseas, and I was stationed up in New Jersey.
Oh.
At Camp Kilmer, and I decided I knew when the boat was going to ship out. I just went AWOL I was going for a weekend. And after I went AWOL, things didn't work out, so I went on back to the camp. And when I got back, they had ripped my locker open, my duffel bag, and I pissed a fit. And they told me, you oughtn't say a word. If you don't get court-martialed, you ought to keep your mouth shut. And you know what saved me? We had a black general in charge of the whole concern, whole campus area. He told me, "Don't you say a word. I'm going to leave your record clean." Didn't put anything, didn't even report that I had been AWOL, and it's not on the record yet.
Wow.
So I kept my mouth shut.
Why were you going to do it? You just didn't want to go overseas?
I just wanted to have a little fun before I left States.
Okay.
You know, I knew I was going to be gone for at least a year.
So you were planning to come back?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to be gone for 2-3 days.
Right.
Well, no, I wouldn't desert. No.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that. When I went, there was a friend of mine that I had met. He's a white guy. We both went AWOL. He got back. They got him.
Oh, they did.
They got him. Because he stayed 3 days. I only stayed one day and one night. Things didn't work out right for me, so I went all back.
Right.
Oh, they hit him hard. I don't have escaped all the punishment.
You ever see him after that?
I don't think I ever saw him again. When I got to Germany, I never saw him again.
Did you ever stay in touch with anyone you were in the army with? Were there a lot of people from Virginia?
No, not that I know. When we went to Richmond, it was 89, I believe, I was went down to be examined.
Right.
And out of 89, I think 7 passed.
Wow.
Qualified.
You're kidding.
And I was one of them. I just thought, sure, I wouldn't make it. But I was one of the 7 out of 89. I never kept up with any of them. After I got married, well, one guy that I went to high school with, graduated with, best man at my wedding, he and I were the best of friends. But after I got married, he sort of drifted away. And he lived down in Kansas. And we just never kept in close touch.
So when you got back, you started working for the water driller again?
Yeah,
the well driller?
Right. I worked for him. After I got out of the service, I guess I worked for him, probably. I'm just going to have to say it was a couple different times.
Right.
Probably a total of about a year. Until I found I just couldn't work for him because he was too rough for me.
Right. Did you go back to your parents' house when you got back?
No, I stayed in Charlottesville with an uncle of mine for a little while. And I went back home for just a couple times, but not to stay. And then I met Nancy and we got married.
How did you meet Nancy?
Through my sister, Vivian. They were in high school together. And that's such an interesting thing. My sister would write me, we'd write each other, and she was writing letters for Nancy to me, and I thought it was her. I had never seen her.
You thought it was who?
I thought it was Nancy, and my sister was writing, putting sign Nancy's name to him. We hadn't even met. And she told Nancy, "Well, when my brother gets out of service, you're going to marry you." She laughed and said, "You've got to be crazy." Right after I got out of service, one day I met her, I did like what I saw, you know. So I met her another time, and we talked very little, because she was so bashful. Oh, she was the shyest person you ever saw.
Wow.
And I wanted to bring her home to Esmond, and her mother told her, "He'll do no such thing. You don't know anything about him." Then she...
Was she still in high school?
No. She had just the same year she graduated from high school, 54. She knew my sister Vivian. Her mother knew my sister Vivian. And she told her, that young man, he can take you home, but his sister Vivian will have to go with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we didn't mind that. So I brought her home that day. met her mother, and we talked a little bit, and I was gone. And then brought her home again. Mm-hmm. But each time my sister had a ride in the car, which was never no problem.
Mm-hmm. Company for the way back.
Right. So after 3 or 4 times, yeah, I said, I think I like this girl. So then, having talked to her mother several times, she gave her permission to ride in the car without my sister. You need some money?
Yes. Excuse me. Oh, that was on. That's all right.
Oh, I was going to stay for lunch.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I have.
I guess we can say grace.
No, that's all right.
So after her mother gave her permission to ride alone with me, we talked. I used to pick her up, bring her home almost 3 or 4 times a week, about 3 times a week, I guess. And I treat her to some ice cream or something. After a few weeks, I asked her if she'd marry me.
Really? A few weeks.
I met her in August, and by December, I had asked her to marry me. And she almost had a heart attack because she hadn't even thought about getting married.
Huh.
So anyway, I convinced her to say yes. And then this was in December. In the following August 55. June 55. We got married. And 11 months later, we had our first child.
Oh, really?
And we've been happy ever since.
Wow.
We've had our disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
10 million of them. But we've had a good 46
years. 46
years.
That is such a blessing. Where did you get married?
I married in Esmont at her home.
Mm-hmm.
About 300 people attended.
300?
300. She's got pictures.
Wow.
See, she was famous, I wasn't.
I guess so. A lot of young men must have been upset.
Oh, yeah. You got one. Yeah. Jordan. Yeah, you know what he told me one day?
Yeah.
We got married. He said, you didn't have to come to our community and pick the prettiest woman we had.
Oh.
But, you know, I just thought she was the one I wanted to marry.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I married her. I think she's satisfied.
I think she is too. How about since you're getting ready to eat, we'll save the Esmont part of the story, since we're up to Esmont now, for next time.
Okay.
Will that sound all right? Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.